We'll never celebrate 4th of July. Know your history and stay woke.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me as always on Twitter at redrock_bball. Going to be looking at the latest moves in NBA free agency. Not that much has really happened over the past 24 or even 48 hours. And also what we'll be doing today is having a quick look at some players who did have some success in the G League last season, and who, for those of you especially in deep leagues and dynasty leagues, will want to keep an eye on these guys in terms of who they are and what they can produce if they do happen to come to the NBA this season. So a little bit of a different show today. There was no Summer League action on the 4th of July. We do have some Summer League games that are currently going at the moment, and maybe we'll touch on them a little bit later if there was any decent enough performances for us to mention. But mainly looking at a couple of moves in free agency and talking about some G League guys for those of you in deeper dynasty formats. Michael Bolton,
let's get to it.
All right, let us indeed get to it. Let's start with the free agency signing that did occur in the last 24 hours, and that is Nemanja Bjelica, formerly of the Minnesota Timberwolves, signing a $4.4 million one-year deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. The Timberwolves, to me, inexplicably, declined the qualifying offer on Bjelica, making him an unrestricted free agent. Then they went out and spent more money on a guy like Anthony Tolliver when they could have just kept Bjelica around. Now, Tolliver's fine. He can hit threes. Bjelica can do more than that. He can hit threes. He can handle the ball. He can play the three. He can play the four. I don't really understand that decision from the Timberwolves, but basically that goes in lockstep with everything that Tom Thibodeau has done with this team. But the Sixers get themselves another unbelievably exciting, maybe exciting is the wrong word, but you know, it's really strong depth piece to add to this team. The Sixers' depth is it's ridiculous. You're trying to look at this roster, they're going to have to cut some guys, but we're talking about a point guard rotation at the moment of Simmons, TJ McConnell, Markel Fultz, who hopefully is going to have a much better season this year. There's Jared Bayless, who probably won't even make the roster. You've got JJ Redick there at shooting guard. There's Zaire Smith, DRC. You've got Landry Shamet. You've got Shake Milton, two guys who were drafted. Then you've got Bob Covington. You've got Wilson Chandler, old baby neck. He came across this season. There's Bjelica there. You're going to have Dario Saric, Joel Embiid, Amir Johnson, Rashawn Holmes. Jonah Bolden looks like he's coming over for this season. Justin Anderson, who I think can be a decent player. Timotei Luwawu-Cabarrot, who may not even be able to make the roster, given that these other players, you know, the strength or the way they're strengthening this team. So they did lose Ersan Ilyasova, they did lose Marco Bellinelli, but you've got Fultz taking some of those minutes, and you're going to have Bjelica take some of those minutes as well. So some pretty interesting moves for a team that has a ton of depth, but there are going to be guys who just aren't part of the rotation. I don't expect Zaire Smith to be a part of the rotation this season. You know, there's Redick, there's Fultz, there's Simmons, there's McConnell. There's your four guards. On the wing, you've got Babinek and Covington. In the front court, you've got Bjelica and Saric. And then you've got Embiid / Johnson Holmes at the center position. So Smith, Shamet, Milton, if he even makes the roster, Luwawu-Cabarrot, Anderson, these guys aren't even going to have a chance to make the rotation. Jonah Bolden, that is how deep this team is going to run. Bjelica last season was the 224th ranked player in 20 minutes. He's not an excellent fantasy option, but he can be a useful player. He hit over a three, had almost a steal, and shot 46, 80, and 42%. Well up from his second season where he was only a 32% three-point shooter. Got his true shooting up over 58, replaced Jimmy Butler in the starting lineup. But curiously, when Butler came back, Tom Thibodeau, in all his coaching brilliance, decided to eliminate him from the rotation, which I thought was a nonsense move. And we saw in the playoffs, 11 minutes in the final game against the Rockets, 20 minutes the game before that, 19 minutes the game before that. They're really limiting him and getting Anthony Tolliver in, an older player who isn't as good at handling the ball. It's a weird one. Now, the 20 minutes that Bjelica played last season for Minnesota, that's probably going to be what he does for Philadelphia, backing up Šarić and maybe playing some of those minutes alongside Šarić if they go small with Dario at center. But you've also got Covington, you've also got Chandler who can play the four. There's not an embarrassment of riches, but there's a ton of just very, very solid players on this Philadelphia roster for next season. So a very strong signing. They got him at a cheap price, which is always awesome. And again, because there's very little money out there, there are going to be tons of deals for players on the open market, and teams are going to get good deals. The problem with it, of course, is that most of these guys are going to be signing for just 1 year, and that's exactly what we saw this season. Another signing that just came through as we were recording is Australian wing Ryan Brokoff, who people have been clamoring for him to get into the NBA for quite a while. He's 27 years of age. Shams just announced about a minute before I went to air here recording that he will be signing a 2-year deal with the Dallas Mavericks with the first year guaranteed. Brokoff is a guy who played for Denver in Summer League a couple of years ago and played really, really well in that time, and then went back overseas and played in Russia for Lokomotiv Kuban last season across 32 games and 25 minutes per game. He shot 53% from the field and 49% from three on over four attempts per game, 89% from the line. He grabbed almost five boards, had over a steal per game, but his value is really in shooting. And there's a spot there in Dallas with Doug McDermott moving on to Indiana. You can Brokoff come in and provide some of that wing depth there as a shooter. We had guys like Kyle Collinsworth. He had Jalen Jones at times getting minutes for Dallas on the wing. They've lost Seth Curry as well. So getting a guy like Brokoff, who is an absolute knockdown shooter, is massive for them. Now, he's probably going to be in the Troy Daniels mold of fantasy options as a guy who can come in and bang in two or three threes if you find him in a 20, 25-minute role. He's probably not going to be in that role all the time, but injuries always occur, so he will be a guy who you can have a look at as a solid streaming-type player in fantasy leagues with that ability to knock down threes and do it at an extremely extremely efficient efficient rate. So that's going to be interesting to see exactly how he fits in Dallas. But I'm just glad that he is getting a shot in the NBA and should be able to put up some decent enough numbers. Well, that's what I'm hoping anyway, because I do like Brokoff and I thought he should have been in the NBA a couple of seasons ago at least. What I want to talk about now is G League players. And for those, you might say, oh, what's the point of that, Josh? Like, these G League guys, they don't really do much. But last season, we had 22 players make their NBA debut who played the previous season in the G League. All right, that's a lot. And with the advent of two-way contracts, you're going to see more and more of this. Now, some of the names aren't necessarily sexy, but for those of you in deeper leagues, in dynasty formats, who are looking for guys to contribute. And some of these names, they contributed, and they contributed even in some standard formats at times. So it is important to be able to know some of these names of these G League guys who potentially have a shot, and they're guys you can also track through Summer League. Now, someone did ask me today, Josh, I'm going to be playing Summer League DFS. Can you give me this list of G League guys? First of all, that's what I'm doing on this show. But second of all, do not play Summer League DFS. Please, I cannot stress this enough. Please, I will not be providing any advice, any support, anything for Summer League DFS. It is a disaster waiting to happen. Please do not. If you're going to do it, $1 tournament entry, whatever. Just put whatever you want in. Do not play Summer League DFS in a serious manner. I cannot stress this enough. It's like gambling on Summer League games as well, which I also suggest that you don't go anywhere near. But let's talk about some of these guys who did make that G League to NBA leap last season. I'm not talking about rookies who went to the G League and came back up. I'm talking about blokes whose entirety of their first professional season or the year before they made their NBA debut was in the G League. And you have names like the list manager Ty Wallace, who was drafted in the 2016 draft and played in the G League in 2016-17 for Salt Lake, and then came up and was excellent for the LA Clippers. And he was a must-own fantasy guy for a big stretch of time. His Clippers teammate, CJ Williams, did exactly the same thing. He was an older rookie, 27 years of age, but he had played in the G League the season prior, and he came in and he was a useful fantasy player. Good old nude nut Alex Caruso for the LA Lakers down the end of the season when you had injuries to guys like Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball. Caruso was playing, and he wasn't doing huge amounts, we know that, but he averaged 5 assists per 36 minutes and 1.5 steals, and they're, you know, obviously solid enough numbers that especially in deeper formats, he played enough. He played 37 games in the NBA. That's something to pay attention to. Abdul Nadir, the second round pick of the Celtics in the 2016 draft, he played 48 games last season and actually started a game. Again, wasn't excellent, but he came straight out of the G League. A guy that I just mentioned earlier, Kyle Collinsworth, he played 32 games in the NBA last season and averaged 8 rebounds and 4 assists per 36 minutes. He has strong numbers. Again, a guy who did have some value. But the next two guys I'm going to talk about, they had significant value and they were useful in fantasy playoff time of the year. And that is Damian Lee of the Atlanta Hawks, who ended up playing 15 games, and Shaq Harrison of the Phoenix Suns, who played 23 games. Harrison averaged 2.4 steals per 36 minutes, which is obviously a huge amount, along with almost 6 rebounds and 5 assists. And Damian Lee came in and hit over a 3 per game, 1.3 per 36 minutes. He got 1.7 steals. He rebounded the ball well. And for that Atlanta team, he really put up some strong numbers. The list goes on. Mike Henry for the Grizzlies, Ryan Achejackano for the Bulls. These guys played over 20 games. Josh Magette in Atlanta, Jalen Jones, who I talked about earlier for the Pelicans and for the Mavericks. John Dutchie Holland for the Cavs. Dakari Johnson, who when Steven Adams got hurt, we saw him start games. He started 6 games this season for the Thunder. Jim Webb, Joshy Gray for the Suns, Alfonso McGinney for the Raptors, Matty Costello, Daniel Hamilton, Marcus Page, Jameel Warney, Mangok Matiang, and then the year before we actually had a couple of guys do it as well. Andy Harrison of the Grizzlies, and we know what he turned into this season. A serviceable player who again was a must-own fantasy guy, and Scooter Magruder for the Miami Heat, who debuted in the NBA at age 25 and started 65 games in his rookie season coming out of the G League. So there are players here, and they're going to be guys in those deeper leagues that you might have an option just to stash on the bench and see what happens over this next 2 to 3 month period to see which players might be able to fill that need for you in a 20-team league, in a 400-player roster league, in a 30-team league, or just other names to pay attention to on shit teams who might get that opportunity, like Shaq Harrison, like Damian Lee, like Mike Henry, like Ty Wallace last season, guys who actually had value as top 150 players for stretches of time. So it's important to be able to at least know these names and have an idea of what sort of production they might be able to have. The next guy, or the first guy of these, I want to talk about. Now, actually, before I do this, you can see the guy up on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. There was a bunch of guys in there. 400 players played in the G League last season. And the top list of guys in terms of their overall fantasy production, they're guys we know about. Quinn Cook, Antonio Blakeney for the Chicago Bulls, who's a guaranteed chucker. Chris Felizio, Torrey Craig of the Denver Nuggets. Damian Wilkins, a 84-year-old man who was on the Pacers roster at one point. Christian Wood, another guy who's played in the NBA. Justin Dentman, and I'm not going to include him because he is 32 years of age. Trey Burke, Briante Weber, Gershon Yabesele, Alex Caruso, Brandon Jennings, Xavier Munford. These are all the top-level guys in terms of overall G League fantasy production, but I want to talk about guys who haven't played in the NBA, who have an opportunity to come forward for this coming season and be that player who is the new Ty Wallace or is the new Shaq Harrison. Not saying they're necessarily going to do that, but there are a few options. Like guys, and then you'll see a few of these guys in summer league as well. Even a guy like George Niang, who played a little bit in the NBA last season, really, really strong in the G League last season, a top 25 fantasy guy for the G League, and yeah, putting up some solid numbers in summer league. Walt Lemon, Daniel Hamilton. These are guys, Derek White. These are guys who potentially could find themselves in larger roles. But the first guy I want to talk about here is a guy who was on the Timberwolves for a stretch of time. He was the 38th ranked player in G League fantasy numbers, and that's Amile Jefferson, who played for the Iowa Wolves and averaged almost 18 points and 13 rebounds with a steal per game. He's a power forward, doesn't block many shots, 0.7, but look at that efficiency, 62% from the field and 73% from the line. Of course, when he enters the NBA, he's not likely going to be shooting 62% from the field, but a high rebounding, high scoring, a high efficiency guy, a big man who can get a little bit in terms of his assist numbers. He is decently solid, I think, when we're talking about players to have a look at. Rebounding generally translates pretty strongly. And a guy like Jefferson is a guy who did obviously rebound quite well when he was in Iowa. So he is a guy to watch. The problem is last season he was a two-way guy for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And we know Tom Thibodeau just doesn't play those players. Actually, let me think. Was he? Yeah, he was. He ended up the season as a two-way guy. So he didn't start there. He signed a two-way guy in January for the Timberwolves. But yeah, perhaps he doesn't. He's a free agent now. Perhaps he goes to a different team. He has an opportunity to be a player who can be an option for teams that do need a little bit of big man depth. So Amile Jefferson, a guy who hasn't played in the NBA. He's 25 years of age, 6'9". He is a guy that we can have a look at and potentially have some value, I guess, in looking at him moving forward as one of those guys, just a name to pay some attention to. The next guy I'm going to talk about who's been really good in summer league so far for the Utah Jazz is Naz Mitru-Long. Now, he did play one game in the NBA last season, so I'm cheating a little bit. He played 30 seconds in one game, so I don't think that many people are going to be all that aware of what Naz was able to do. But he has been playing quite well here in Summer League so far, shooting 63% from the field in his first two games, 43% from three, averaging 2 steals, 5 assists, and 13 points in his couple of games so far in Summer League. But last season for the Salt Lake City Stars, he did play 35 minutes a game and averaged 18, 6, and 4.5 with over a steal and shot 38% from three. 86% from the line. He banged in a ton of threes as well, almost 3.5 triples per game, and he was the 33rd ranked player in G League Fantasy last season. A guy who is a guard, and we know that guards can translate and can put numbers as a point guard. A guy like Ty Wallace, he did it last season. Josh Majette, Shaq Harrison. So Naz Long, a guy who can come in, bang in threes, do it efficiently, handle the ball. Been in the NBA system a little bit with Utah. He is someone to pay a level of attention with. He was a two-way guy last season, but he's not anymore. So he could go to another team if possible, or if that's the way it works out. But Naz Mitru-Long is a guy that I think you do have to pay some attention to, as one of those guys who could be that player who jumps forward in this coming season in the NBA. The next guy I want to talk about is another big man, and he plays for the Grand Rapids Drive. He was on the Pistons roster in the preseason, and that's Landry Nwoko, a big man from Clemson, again, played for the Grand Rapids Drive, averaged 14.7 points and 11.5 rebounds with 2 blocks, and again, elite efficiency for a big man, 58 and 74%. He's 24 years of age. He's 6'10". He's from the Cameroon, or from, not the Cameroon, he's from Cameroon, and put up some decent numbers. Now, he has played a couple of games for Sacramento in Summer League this season, averaging 5 and 6 with 1.5 blocks in only 14 minutes. So obviously they're relatively impressive numbers in that limited time that he has been playing here. So not for Sacramento, he's been playing for the Miami Heat off the bench there behind Bam Adebayo. And another guy that could find himself finding a two-way contract or a couple of 10 days at the end of the season. The high efficiency, high free throw, shot blocking, rebounding type are guys that can come in and be really streamable. Landry Nwoko, a guy at 24 years of age, could be one of these big men who took a while to really start to sort of get his grasp on playing professional basketball. And I think that's pretty much what we're going to see from him with that opportunity to start to put together some decent type performances. So he is at Landry Nwoko is a name to watch depending on where he ends up. The next player I want to talk about has probably the best name in the G League or in the NBA in general, and it is Scoochie Smith, a 23-year-old guard. His actual name is Deshaun, but let's go with Scoochie, 6'2" guard. He actually played down here in Australia last season for Cairns, averaged 10, 3, and 2.3 assists with almost a steal per game, and hit over a 3 per game in his 22 minutes, 34% from 3. And it is quite hard to get decent numbers in the Australian League, especially when you're starting every game, limited type of minutes. So decent enough production from Scoochie down here for Cairns. But in the G League, he played about 10 games for the Canton Charge, averaged 14.5 points, 4.3 rebounds, and 8.1 assists, along with 1.6 steals, and shot 53% from the field. Now, that is not what he did in Australia. He was at 41% from the field down here, but also the 60% he shot from the line in the G League doesn't really mesh with the 77% he shot while he was in Cannes. So I would think that he's probably a better than a 41% field goal guy and 34% three-point guy. Definitely has the ability to dish the ball, as we saw during that time in the G League. He did play some summer league games last season for the Celtics, but that Celtics team was Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum running the show. So he didn't really get to stand out. There's also Nadia and Yabesele on that squad as well. So Smith, I don't know that he is actually in summer league this season. I haven't seen him on a roster. He probably is. I haven't seen him yet on one of those rosters. But he is a guy just to watch coming out. Depends if he goes back to Australia or if he does stay in the G League. But could be a March, April special type of guy who does get called up to a team and perhaps is able to provide some interesting type of value. But those high assist numbers that he's able to put up are a little bit intriguing. Another guy I want to talk about here is, it wasn't quite as highly ranked in terms of his G League fantasy numbers, but a guy that hasn't played in the NBA so far, the 73rd ranked guy last season in terms of G League fantasy, and he played for the Memphis Hustle, and that's Treyson Burrell, a 25-year-old, 6'7" wing. Pretty decent numbers, 13.3 points, but it's the 8.5 rebounds along with 4 assists and 1.5 steals that does really get you interested in what he's doing. Also 40% three-point shooter, hit over 1.5 per game. Go with the rebounds there, go with the assists, go with the steals. There's some pretty strong numbers. Now, only 68% from the line is a little bit troubling, and that's what dropped his overall G League fantasy rank down. But Treyson Burrell, a wing player who can play defense, who can hit threes, who can handle and can rebound. There are all skills there that could be intriguing to teams later on in the season. That's a name to watch. You know, similarly to a Ty Wallace, who came in and was able to rebound and get steals and block shots and do a whole bunch of different things, a player like Treyson Burrell could potentially be an option there, and a guy that, again, no one would really have heard of, and you could really get the leap on someone in a 30-team league just by having that name. Just keep it in your pocket and just be aware that a guy like that actually does exist. The next guy, or the last one of these G League players that I do want to talk about, I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's name properly. It's Troy Corpain of the Lakeland Magic. He's only 22 years of age, a 6'4" guard, and played for the Lakeland Magic, the Orlando Magic's G League affiliate last year, and averaged 15.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 5.8 assists with almost 1.5 steals, and went 43-84. He was in Magic camp last year, and he's back with the Magic Summer League team this season, so he is someone to watch. Played 38 minutes per game for Lakeland last year with those numbers and banged in 35% of his threes and hit 1.6 per game. So a decent amount of attempts that he took there. True shooting was a little bit below average, but a solid enough performances from Copan to, on a guy, for a team like the Magic, who do really lack shot creators and scorers outside of Evan Fournier. Yes, they might get Isaiah Thomas. That's not confirmed at this point. But this is a team that's not going to be good. And maybe they look to bring a guy like Corpain in, whether he makes the roster, whether he gets a two-way deal. They're stacked in the front court. And by stacked, I mean lots of guys, not necessarily excellent talent or anything like that. Although Aaron Gordon, John Isaac, Mo Bamba, Nick Vucevic, they are pretty talented. It's that backcourt issue that they do really need to take advantage of. So a guy like Corpain, again, don't know how to say it. Someone correct me if you choose to. He's a guy that could come in, bang some threes out, handle the ball a little bit, along with Fournier, depending on, Isaiah Thomas could come in, he could get injured. There is an opportunity there for a team. And only 22 years of age, I can see Corpain really beginning to make or making his NBA debut this season. He was a four-year college player in Cincinnati. And he is a guy that I think is worth looking at. And his debut season for Lakeland last season, I thought it was pretty impressive. And I think that's worth looking at. A lot of the other guys in the higher ranks of the G League fantasy staff, guys like Lorenzo Brown, Ivica Zubats, Rafael Putney, who's in summer league as well, but he's an older player, like 28 years of age. Guys like James Young, former Boston Celtics draft pick, RJ Hunter, former Boston Celtics draft pick, Luke Kornet, Kadeem Allen, Wade Baldwin, Derek Jones Jr., all these names that you know. So I wanted to present to you a few names that you may not have heard of and other people may not have heard of as well, to try and give you maybe a slight step on other guys, to try and see if you can get that step up in those deeper leagues where it can be quite hard to find a contributor, and even getting a guy who's maybe even a top 300 player can be a useful thing to do. Now there is a couple of summer league games that have finished so far. So let's bring all those up on the, well, not on the, because I don't have them on the screen, because they've just finished now. Putting that up. All right. Let's have a look. Mo Wagner for the Lakers had a double-double and four blocks. The defensive stuff there is impressive. He played well game one, struggled in game two. Nice performance here in game three for Mo. The Lakers center position, they obviously passed on DeMarcus Cousins, had the option to sign him and said nah. So their centers are Zubats, McGee, and Wagner at this point. And you could see Wagner move ahead of Zubats, so maybe he can provide deeper league value in that sort of a setting. Alex Caruso, Svi McKay, look, they did very little for this team. In fact, overall, very little to look at with the Lakers in summer league so far. Josh Magette, a guy I talked about earlier for the Hawks last season, he played for the Warriors in this game. He had 4 points with three assists and three steals. And Jacob Evans only played 6 minutes in his start, while Amari Johnson had 15 in 18 minutes. And he's a guy that played some minutes last season for the Memphis Grizzlies. Not much really happening with this Warriors team. Kendrick Nunn, Damian Jones, and Jordy Bell all did not play in that game. Trying to bring up the Heat game against the Kings, which has also finished. Bring up that box score. Let's have a look at that. All right, so for the Kings, Marvin Bagley played 29 minutes and had 1 point. That is extraordinarily disappointing there. One block, three rebounds. He has sucked in two games. You know, I was really skeptical of Bagley. I didn't think he'd be as bad as what this performance was. But that's a little bit worrying. That's why I had him sixth in my dynasty rookie ranks, and I don't think he'll be a standard league guy. Harry Giles bounced back, had 11 and 12. He looks really strong. I don't think he's going to be enough for a standard league guy. Well, Justin Jackson, that's two strong games in a row for Jackson, but we always want to look, what else did he do? We had 26 points with three rebounds and nothing else, and did it on 53% shooting. The game before, he had about 24 points and did it on 70% shooting with no other stats, and that's always the concern with Jackson. Go look at his game log, and you can see that last season, that when he has these big scoring games, it's paired with nothing else, and the ability to do nothing else comes on extremely high and unsustainable efficiency. But it's good that he's able to do it. He just needs to be able to do more. Frank Mason also struggled in this one. 3, 5, and 5. Wasn't a great performance from the Kings. Derek Jones Jr., his third consecutive strong game. I am down on him. I don't see him being a part of the Heat rotation. He is re-signed to the Heat, but 19-7 with two steals is a strong performance. Bam was good. The other guy that's important here is Duncan Robinson, who's really played well throughout summer league. 12 points with a steal and a block, banged in four triples, and that's something to pay attention to. While my man Landry Noko, who I talked about before, he only had the 2 points and one rebound. Not a great performance from him. But it's, Duncan Robinson really sort of starting to step up as an undrafted guy. Another player you could put into that list of guys in deep dynasty leagues that you want to pay attention to. They are the two summer league games that have finished at this point. We've got the Grizzlies taking on the Spurs and the Hawks taking on the Jazz today. I'll be back next week with full info on stuff that went down across free agency over the weekend in Vegas Summer League as well. And make sure you are subscribing on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, on YouTube, and go follow me on Instagram at redrock_bball as well. Go smash that follow button, hit the subscribe on YouTube, leave a review. You know all the ways to go and help support this podcast. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Lonnie Walker IV.